Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 99. Graham Flanagan of Business Insider. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good, Graham. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Saw a very interesting piece that is out there in the news about the billionaire internet disruptor Sean Parker of Facebook and Napster fame, who is now behind a service called the Screening Room, which offers a set-top box a la Apple TV or Roku that you purchase for $150. But what's special about this service is that it will offer access to stream first-run movies that are still in theaters for $50. So he's shopping this around now, and he's gotten some investors. It's not clear exactly who's like committed to investing. He's got a lot of advocates, and these advocates are big-name titans in the world of movies, people like Steven Spielberg, Ron Howard, Peter Jackson, J.J. Abrams, just to name a few. And so now it's a matter of all of the studios and the movie exhibitors, the movie chains, to sit down and figure out how they could make this work. Now, in addition to the $50, what you get for the $50 fee of like renting or streaming a movie, you also get two tickets to see the movie in theaters after you stream it. So it's very interesting. And, you know, Sean Parker's been he's been a major disruptor successfully with Facebook and his involvement in Spotify. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not he's successful at sort of disrupting the movie business as we know it. But the fact that he's got all these big names like coming out and supporting this idea has to make people think that this very well might happen. So, Stark, I just want to just ask you, if this does indeed happen, will you purchase that $150 set-top box and then purchase movies to stream in your house first run for $50?
It's tough to say. I mean, I think right now I probably wouldn't, because the things that keep me from going to the theater as often as I'd like are also the same things that keep me, or some of the same things at least, that keep me from sitting still and watching a movie from beginning to end. And I think there's like a, 48-hour limit, I think, once you order the movie. So it, like, even when my wife and I just like want to rent a movie on Amazon or Vudu or Redbox, we have to make sure, hey, what does our tech day look like? Because, you know, by the time we start the movie, we may black out 45 minutes in, and it might be nice to finish that, you know, the next evening or something like that. So with having a kid our age, I feel like it's not a great option for us. It's almost that $50 could be better spent getting a babysitter, going to the movie theater, and then, you know, also go to dinner and making an evening of it. That's kind of sequestered together there. However, I feel like that this is almost more of an option for somebody like our friend Matt, who has, you know, kids that are old enough to sit still and watch movies. He takes his kids to the movie theater. So if something like Zootopia comes out, you have this set-top box. And look, it's hard to get the family scheduled together and get everybody, you know, brush their teeth or whatever you got to do with older kids, get their clothes on, and, you know, Ennio's got to shave and everything. So by the time you clean up everybody, get out to the theater, and spend all the money you're going to spend on concessions and everything else, you've probably spent more than $50 for a family. So it would make a lot more sense if you had the set-top box to just drop $50 and get a Little Caesars pizza and watch Zootopia for $50. So I think it's not a great option for me. Also, I mean, incidentally, I like being in the theater, and I don't want that to be, you know, I don't want that to go away. But I like the way that this doesn't totally, you know, take that away. I like the idea that, I mean, it's a pretty great deal that you get the tickets with the movie that you order. I think that might be the difference maker for a lot of people.
That's a great point about the whole family dynamic, because, I mean, you have two or three kids. If you take the kids to the theater, you're going to spend, you know, more than you do on the tickets, on concessions. And that's just a great point. Like, you're at home, you can throw some Pop Secret in the microwave,
right,
and, you know, drink, get a 2 liter.
Get that Orville going.
Yeah, and get a 2 liter of Faygo cream soda. And, you know, you're gonna save money that way. That's a great point. And the way I was thinking of it was sort of how when there's like a boxing match or a UFC match, or formerly a WWE pay-per-view before the network came along. But these right, events that are like, you know, premium live events are televised on pay-per-view, and they run you between like $60 and $100 in some cases. So what people do is they sort of hack it, and they get about, you know, five or six buddies or more, sometimes a lot more, to pitch in for the price of the pay-per-view and come over, and, you know, you have like a party. And I feel like you could do that same – you could kind of do that with this option where, you know, a new movie comes out, you get some buddies together. That way you can, like, drink beers and, you know, pause it if you need to go to the restroom, and just gives you that experience of, like, hanging out and watching something with friends. And that way, if you get enough people – to, you know, you could lower the cost of the ticket for everybody, you know, in terms of an option, an alternative option to going to the theater. And my main thing here, the main person I think that it'll benefit, I think that what you just said about families is a great point. But in places that, so I live in New York, you know, and we get the art house releases on the first week, and they, people in LA get the same thing. But then people, even in bigger markets like Chicago, D.C., Miami, they have to wait at least 1 or 2 weeks before these new releases come out, right? But when you talk about markets, smaller markets like Birmingham, you know, they have to wait multiple weeks, if not months, for these movies to get there. And, you know, places like Tuscaloosa, where I'm from, we, you know, movies like Room and Carol, the Oscar contenders, they never even came to Tuscaloosa. If you wanted to see those in the theater, you had to drive to Birmingham. And so, to me, it's like this would give people, like, real hardcore film fans the option when these limited release Oscar contenders come out of getting a, you know, paying for it yourself, or getting a group of people together to have a little screening of Carol in your living room on the day that it comes out, so that you don't feel like you're, you know, left out and not in the know about how good this movie is, whether or not it should be an Oscar contender. I feel like that would really change things up for the better for film fans in smaller markets.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's one of the things that's exciting to me. I mean, I kind of wonder though, you know, if this is tied into the exhibitors and, you know, all the other players in the distribution game, I wonder if there still be a cap to which films are offered for this, you know, I mean, as far as I can tell, it's probably just, you know, some proprietary video file that needs to be uploaded. So I can't imagine that there would be a cost, but that's kind of what it is to theaters too. But again, you're not really paying for screen time. So maybe there won't be a limit, but I also wonder, look, if they don't stand to make, you know, whatever money they want to make off of releasing Carol, then they might not put Carol in this channel and you know, and leave that to more traditional, traditional approach.
Right.
So I would be suspicious about that, because it hasn't been clear about, like, look, is this going to be everything? I mean, I remember when Day and Date first became a thing. I think one of the first movies that ever did it was Steven Soderbergh's Bubble, and it was, you know, it was cool news for people like us that like Steven Soderbergh. But at the same time, it's like, well, it's kind of the opposite thing. It's if you're just going to Day and Date movies like Bubble, then, you know, what about these bigger movies out there that we would like to see? So this seems like it could almost be the reverse, where, you know, they want the most amount of money possible for Zootopia, again, to use that example.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that they're going to go to all that trouble to make Carol available in the same way. So, you know, it's up to them to kind of determine, you know, what it's worth. But to me, it doesn't seem like the overhead would be that much.
Does it surprise you?
It should be open season.
Does it surprise you that all these big names are getting behind this? Like people like Spielberg, Abrams, and Jackson, you know, who put butts in seats still to this. Well, except for in the case of Spielberg, But people like, I should say, Peter Jackson, J.J. Abrams, not Steven Spielberg, still draw a lot of people to theaters to see their movies. You know, does that surprise you at all that these guys are getting behind this idea?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this might be Spielberg's only chance, you know, for people to even see his movies. I mean, because a lot of the audience for Bridge of Spies couldn't leave their house, you know.
For what?
Medically.
For what?
Bridge of Spies.
What's that?
Oh, right, yeah. Well, Lincoln 2, you know.
Lincoln 2? So, like the sequel to Lincoln? Is that a sequel to Lincoln?
Lincoln as well.
Maybe if they would have just called it Lincoln. If they would have just called it Lincoln 2, it might have done better.
Or maybe it might have actually been a better movie?
Done better. I think that maybe if they would have called it Lincoln 2, St. James Place, it would have done better. Anyway, sorry. Does it surprise you that these big names are getting behind this idea in so public a fashion?
Yeah, it did at first, but then I started, you know, reading the articles and stuff and looking at how this is working, and it makes a lot more sense. Again, because it cuts the exhibitors in, you know, they get a cut of that $50. And again, you get the movie theater tickets, you know, so that, again, if I had rented, if I had gotten my youth group together, like I would have for Starcade 98, and, you know, we all got together, all my buddies, we got together and we got Bridge of Spies for $50, well, it would have been me and my dad's friends. For $50, we would have watched that movie, and then I would have said, wow, I love this movie. This is one of my favorite movies of the year. What I should do is take these tickets and go see this movie again because, you know, I've seen it with all my dad's friends, so now it's time for, you know, now I can go see the Spielberg movie on the big screen too. So it's hard to argue with that, and I think hardcore film fans will always go back to the theater. I do think that this is going to cut into that business some, but again, it goes back to that family thing, and that was Peter Jackson's point in an article that I read, was that he doesn't think that it would be he thinks that this would offer the movies to people that aren't going to the movies. Again, those big families where it's just too expensive, or the Bridge of Spies audience that you know can't get their rascal down the stairs. That that group of people are going to get movies that couldn't before, or like you said, depending on what kind of movies, you know, film nerds in Huntsville, Alabama, that you know don't that if Room comes to our theater here, it's only for 3 days, and I didn't even know about it.
Right. Well, I mean, right now it seems like it's obviously getting a lot of press and you know, that's being held by these huge names in Hollywood that are getting out there supporting it. But, you know, it's going to take a lot of, there's a lot of moving parts in terms of a lot of studios and a lot of theatrical exhibitors. They're going to have to come to some agreement here. It sounds like, you know, AMC has already expressed interest in a positive way, but yet Regal is backing off. Then you have like Universal and Fox are saying that they're into it, but Disney's not interested. And it's just not going to work really unless everybody sort of comes to the table and agrees on some sort of system. But, you know, Netflix is a thing and, you know, that, but of course that only involves the studios, not the theatrical exhibitors, but Netflix happened, and it took a while to get to where it is now. Many years, I'd say almost a decade, if not more. But I think if that happened, and I don't recall, you know, big name directors coming out in the press saying that this needs to happen for Netflix. So maybe that'll bolster this. And you know, I also read in a Business Insider article that in 2011, Universal experimented with this day and date, you know, premium price streaming offering with Tower Heist, where they charge they charge $59.99 to stream it, and it didn't work very well. And you know, I they called it a bust, is what the article said. And you know, maybe that wasn't the right title to use as the you know, the test subject. But so I don't know how, you know, much attention should be paid to that sort of sampling. You know, it's really, we're really going to know if once a studio agrees to put out like a movie that people are actually, you know, genuinely anticipating, where they're expecting a large box office opening weekend for it, and to see how that does at this price point before we know if it's going to work. And hopefully we'll at least get a studio to like partner up with this company, the screening room, and see if it, you know, run, do a test or do a handful and see how it goes. And then they'll really know. But I'm sure that research is being done, you know, sort of like on the down low now and not really at a public level. And, you know, I'm curious to see what happens, but I will say that, you know, with your point about, and what you said, Peter Jackson's point about the family experience, coupled with the, you know, ideally, these studios would release limited release movies on this platform. I think it, and the idea of it, you know, getting just from the customer's perspective of it, getting, you know, a group of people together to sort of split the cost, it's very appealing to me. It would not, you know, it would not prevent me from going to the theater at all. I'd probably go to the theater just as much, but for certain movies, certain titles, I would definitely purchase the $50 streaming.
Well, you brought up a good thing about Disney being reticent, and I think that you have to look at it from their example. Like, how much of their stock is in hype? You know, how much of it is in marketing and in opening weekend? And when you've got something like this, I don't know how that would factor in to opening weekend. You know, but if Captain America goes from being something that you can only see in theaters in May, that opening weekend, to something that is available in everybody's homes, I don't know. There may just be a market perception of, well, I can get to that later, and then that opening weekend could suffer. I feel like that may be, there may just be some, I don't know, some sort of psychological effects there that the studios are kind of worried about, you know, where it just makes these big hyped up blockbuster movies seem less special when they're available in anybody's home. Anybody with $200 to spare, but still anybody.
Yeah, and I think that what we'll hopefully see soon is one of these guys, these big names, Abrams, Ron Howard, or Peter Jackson, a few of whom have movies coming out this year. Scorsese was also looped in there to try it and say, and for Scorsese to say, look, I want Silence to be available day and date for streaming. But I think that the most obvious candidate for this is Spielberg, who has a movie coming out this year. As we know, after what happened last year, Spielberg is a desperate man. To remind people that he still exists, might insist on making the BFG a day and date streaming experiment. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and that plays into the whole family thing. So, I mean, you're probably right. And, I mean, I also think about how many, you know, how many Abbeys are going to have Silence screening that opening weekend, whenever that comes out. So I have one kind of last question is, you know, Sean Parker's involved in this. Do you think the key to the success here is just calling it screening room, because they're calling it the screening room, and that just doesn't seem like as marketable.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll see. I think that screening room, you know, it's hard to say, Stark, the screening room. It's just a mouthful, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll
scream. They should just change it to the room.
Right, or just call it the room.
Yeah, or room. Yeah.
Let's room it instead. So we'll see, man. But it's exciting. It's interesting. When you got names like this attached, you're definitely paying attention.
Absolutely. Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere for me, so I'm excited to see where it goes.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com.